We start all of our teaching sessions with John chapter 3, at least verse 16. I'm going to ask whichever translation you have, let's together read that out loud. Are you ready? Let's begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Over the past several days, I've been asking the Lord, okay, Father, what do you want to share on Wednesday night with the people? And quite often God gives me a message title and then I let him develop that and tell me what the message is. Well, this time, God being who he is, you can't put him in a box. He didn't give me a title and he really didn't give me a message. Certain scriptures were coming to me. And as I waited and prayed and listened, God said, it's a word of encouragement. You know that the word tells us, the scripture tells us that the Bible was inspired, written by the Holy Ghost, right? And the Bible's purpose, scripture was given for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine, for reproof, for teaching us how to live this life, God's standard, God's way. But do you also know that the Bible is meant to be a source or a means of God's encouragement? Have you ever been in a state or a place or a time or season in your life where it just seemed like the more you were doing what you knew to be right, the stronger and the greater the opposition appeared to be? God knew what he was doing because I thought he was just talking to me. But God said his heart is towards his people and he wants to encourage his people. Yes, he gives us the word for reproof, to correct us, to give us instruction, but he also gives us the word for encouragement. So tonight, we're just going to look at scripture and let God expound his heart of encouragement to you. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're looking at verses 16 through 18. I'm going to read that first out of the New King James Bible. And it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, and that's the spirit man, that's the real you, is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, what did God say? What kind of affliction? Which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, which means they're subject to pass away. What's that expression? Here today, gone tomorrow. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The New Century Version Bible says, we have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than the troubles. We set our eyes not on what we see, but what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. That word affliction in 2 Corinthians 4, according to Strong's, it means tribulation, trouble, anguish, persecution, burdens, pressure, oppression, distress. Can anybody relate? Turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we're looking at verses 20 and 21. I'm going to share that out of the Amplified Bible. Now it says, now may the God of peace, the source of serenity and spiritual well-being, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood that sealed and ratified the eternal covenant. In verse 21, this is what he prayed that God would do. Equip you with every good thing to carry out his will and strengthen you, making you complete and perfect as you ought to be, accomplishing in us that which is pleasing in his sight. How does God do it? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The King James Bible says that God will make us perfect. He perfects us. Some people think that that means you don't make any mistakes and everything is always right and it's always a sunny day and we never have any issues. Well, if that's the case, we all be in heaven right now. But obviously, God had a purpose and a plan after we came into Christ for leaving us here in the earth. That word perfect means, according to Strong's, to mend that which has been broken, to repair, to complete, to fit, to equip, to put in order, to arrange, or to prepare. So, God, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of pressure, in the midst of hardship, is mending that which has been broken. He is repairing. He is completing. He is equipping. He is putting in order. He is rearranging, adjusting, and preparing. Do you think we need this when we get to heaven? I think we need it while we're here. When Shekinah Glory on Sunday, or it was Sunday or Monday, I was listening and Lois Tatcha said, the devil is after you, not necessarily for you, but for the move of God through you. Since the devil couldn't keep us from accepting Jesus Christ, his only other tactic is to attempt to hinder us from fulfilling God's purpose for our lives in the earth. We are a threat to the devil here. So we represent Christ in the earth. So if you represent the one that kicked his butt, and yes, I said it, wouldn't you feel that you're a threat to the one that took out your authority? So if I look at every one of you and I see Christ, I see his power, I see his strength, I see his blood, I see his love, I see his unity, I'm gonna try to mess with you too. Because I don't want you to have the desired intent in the earth. So how does the devil do this? He comes with affliction. He comes with persecution. He comes with strife. He comes with all kinds of stuff to hinder the work or the purpose or the plan of God in the body of Christ. Aha! But Jesus already told us that we would have troubles and persecution and tribulation in the earth. But what did he say? He said to be of good cheer. Why? Because he overcame. He overcame, and where are we? In him. So what did we do? But we've got to occupy until he comes. So know that when the persecution, the affliction, whatever the stuff comes, it's to make us back off, step back, give up, let go, turn around and say, I can't do this anymore. I have had it. And well, Jesus, it'll be all right. The reality of it is, God already knew that, and he still equipped us to be sufficient in the earth by his strength and his grace and his ability. What do you think the Holy Spirit's prominent job is? To operate through believers in the earth, to demonstrate God's ability through believers who believe who their God is. Not those who step back and say, Lord, I guess I missed it. I guess I'm not saved. I don't know why all this stuff is happening. I'm giving you your tithes. I'm loving people. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm serving in my church. I'm showing up to work on time. I'm loving my neighbor. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. And yet all this hell is breaking loose. And God says, yay, keep it up. Keep it up. Question: what are we supposed to do when the persecutions, the troubles, the afflictions, the pressures, the burdens come? Hallelujah. Thank you, Robert. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. See, this is what I call the corporate anointing. It's not just the person who's speaking up here. The Holy Ghost is unfolding and reteaching, and I'm an interactive instructor. I take no offense to contributions. It helps. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read verses 8 through 10. I'm going to share that out of the King James Bible first. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he will devour. What does your Bible say? That tells me something. Means he doesn't have absolute authority. Sometimes we give the devil more credit than he deserves. Sometimes we act like he's omnipresent, that he's omniscient. And you know what? He's not. Only God is all-knowing. Only God is all places at all times. So the Bible says that he seeks whom he may devour. But what are we supposed to do? Look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast? How? You can't resist the devil in your own strength. You can't resist the devil with your own logic. You can't resist the devil in your own knowledge. We are not equipped naturally to do it. But coming into Christ, we operate in faith. Remember, scripture says the just shall live by faith. Well, it's a fight of faith. So we resist the devil in faith, knowing that the same afflictions, or we could say persecutions, troubles, pressure, burdens are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, it's happening to somebody else besides you. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Remember what I said that perfect means. It means that when God says that he will perfect us, he will mend that which has been broken. He will repair. He equips, he puts in order, he arranges, he adjusts, and he prepares. Even in the midst of the affliction, God is working on our behalf. The Amplified Bible says of that same verse, be sober, well-balanced, self-disciplined, be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Verse 9, but resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack. How? Rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer or endure alone. But after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be in the face of the affliction, in the face of the adversity, in the face of the discouragement, in the face of the attack. When we won't back off our faith in God, we give him what to work with. God stands and says, that's my child. And because he or she won't back off, I will perfect in them that which they need to stand against the works of the devil. That which is resisting. What does the scripture say? We are to resist the devil. According to Strong's, it means set yourself against him. He don't like us and we shouldn't like him. It means to oppose him. What the devil perpetrates as right, we stand against it and say, no, that's not God's standard. I don't agree with that. When the devil tells us that we're going to die, that we're not going to succeed, that we're going under, that we're in debt, that our house is going to be taken, that our children are reckless and they're going to hell, that our marriage is destroyed, that we don't have a job, we say what? No. As Lois said the other night, shut up. When you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you can step up and stand up against the opposition, knowing, fully persuaded, God's got my back. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Many times, if you've been in the walk of faith for a while, you may wonder, Lord, what's the purpose of all this? Doesn't seem like things are getting better. You told me something 25 years ago, and I don't see it happening. I believed you for this, and it's gotten worse. Father, it seems like everybody else is prospering and advancing and going on. And by the way, let me put this little disclaimer in there. In case you're thinking, well, everything's going great for me. I really don't need a word of encouragement. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. But I say this. Please get this CD and buy two. Give one to a friend or a family member who needs an encouragement and put yours on a shelf where you can see it. If you live longer than a day, something's going to come up. And that doesn't necessarily mean something is wrong. But life happens. And what God is reminding us is that he is with us in the midst of life. He's not discouraged. He's not backing off. He knows everything that we will encounter and face, and he's still on the throne. He's not scratching his head and wondering, what am I going to do about that? We try to figure it out. But God says, I've got the authority and I gave it to you. So you stand in the authority that I've got, I've given you. Yeah, your faith is going to be tested. Yes, things are going to come up. But that does not mean you are doing something wrong necessarily. That does not mean that God has forsaken you. It simply means, as God has been saying to me, keep going. Don't back off. Don't let go. Don't give up. And watch your words. This is not in the notes. What we focus on will shape our attitude. So as the scripture said, we don't look at the things that are temporary because they're subject to change. You keep looking at a negative balance in your bank account, and that's all you're going to see when you go to sleep. You keep meditating on what's not going right in your home or on your job or in your church. You keep focusing on what's wrong and what people are saying or not doing to stroke you or make you feel good. It's going to affect your attitude. And when it affects your attitude, it affects your heart. And then out of your mouth is going to come what your heart has been meditating on. But when we focus on what God has said, when we shift our attention and allow our focus to be what God has said and not move by what we see, then we readjust or refocus our attitude that the glass is not half empty. I've just got more room for God's provision. That I am not in debt. I'm in a position for promotion. We have got to see it the way God sees it and say it the way God says it. Because if we don't line our words up with what God has said, we are shaping our world by what we see and what we feel. And if you're like me, you don't want to do that. Sometimes we are living with the result of what we have focused on for too long. God says, move past it, let it go. And the way he said it to me last week, stop sweating the small stuff. It's not worth it. Do you know how much time worry and frustration and doubt and discouragement and anger and unforgiveness and jealousy take up in your heart? Do you know what damage that does to your system? And God says, but my word is health to your body. It's meant to give you life. So when we stop focusing on what we're seeing or what we're experiencing or what we feel, and we start focusing on what God has said, when we let that become our standard of speech, Then we speak life into our situation. Then we speak life over our children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God says, what are you focusing on? Proverbs chapter 4, verses through 22. Out of the New King James Bible, God says, my son, and he can say my child, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, surround yourself with what God says. For they, meaning his words, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Have you ever been in a season in your life where you're just saying, God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm looking and listening for direction, and it just seems that it's so quiet. Lord, what are you saying? I need an answer. I need help. I need a direction. Psalm 32, verse 8. Amplified Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you who are willing to learn. And that's key. You've got to be willing to receive it. You've got to be willing to accept God's counsel. And that often means be willing to change your perspective. How many times have we been so determined and focused that we're going to do that? We're going in that direction. We're going to say that. We're going to give that. We're going to do that. And God says, I don't want you to do anything. Or I want you to go the opposite way, which is very uncomfortable, which is very uncertain, which requires us to be submitted and humility and to show humility. And we're standing there and it's a crossroad. Now, God's not going to beat you up and make you do it. He's going to give you the instruction. He's going to show you the way to go. But we make the decision whether we will follow. God says in Psalm 32, verse 8 in the Voice translation, I will teach you and tell you the way to go and how to get there. I will give you good counsel and I will watch over you. God's eyes are always upon his children. He knows exactly where we are. So God says, stop focusing, stop rehearsing, stop meditating on and making idols of people, situations, things or circumstances that are subject to change. God says, instead, make him, God, who is eternal and all-knowing and the all-sufficient one, make him and what he has said our priority. His eyes are always upon us. He said we are engraved in the palm of his hand. He said he watches over us carefully. He looks after us better than the best mother or father ever will, because they are subject to fail. But God never fails. And then God said, guard your heart and change your mind. It will change your perspective and your outlook, and your words will line up with what God says instead of the temporary circumstance, situation, or condition. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. The Amplified Bible says, and we use this often in the ministry of giving, but it has a greater principle. Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. God says, don't throw in the towel. The Voice translation says, may we never tire of doing good, that which is good and right in God's sight. Because in his season, the King James says due season, that's an appointed time. And let me tell you, every seed has an appointed time of harvest. And that's not just money. Some of you have been faithfully serving and laboring and giving and praying, not just in this ministry, but over your families, over your community, over your jobs, You have made yourselves available to God to be a light in a place of darkness. And God said he sees your sacrifice. He sees the seed of love that you have sown. There's a due season coming. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Have you ever felt sometimes that it's just you in this fight and you think that there's nobody else around going through what you're going through? Have you ever times felt like, Lord, where are the people that love me when I need them? Why is the phone not ringing when I need to talk to somebody? Why is somebody not emailing me a wonderful message of encouragement on the day that I need it? God says, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So since we stand surrounded, and this is the voice translation. So since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before, an enormous cloud of witnesses, let us drop every extra weight, every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace. And let us run with endurance the long race set before us. Now stay focused on Jesus, who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and he ignored the shame of that death because he focused on the joy that was set before him. And now he is seated beside God on the throne, a place of honor. Consider the life of one who endured such personal attacks and hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. God said this point, we are in a race called faith. The course was determined by God's design. But the success along the journey depends on our commitment to finish the race, despite the length and the condition of the course. Sometimes there are bumps along the road. Sometimes there are winding curves. Sometimes we feel that nobody else is on that stretch of path that we're on. But God says, keep going, finish the race. We are to make the one who set and designed our course, not our circumstances, not the issues, not even the people we encounter along the path. We are to make God who set our course as our priority, as our focus. What does he say? How does he say it? When does he want us to do it? And let him make the adjustments when he wants to, instead of us saying, I got this. I'm going to come to the end and share what God said. The Lord said, this is a word of encouragement because he knows where his people are. God said, you can do this. I did not set you up to fail. Do not allow time, past failures, past disappointments, your current situations or delays to cause you to be discouraged or frustrated. Do not allow doubt or fear to push you back or make you want to give up or let go of your hope, your joy, and your expectation. You are meant to accomplish this. You are designed to succeed. I made you to win. I see exactly where you are. I know exactly what you're doing. And I also know the position of your heart towards me. I will reward your obedience. I am pleased with your faith. Let no one and nothing be your judge, for I am the only true and righteous judge. Hold fast to me. Don't let go of what I've promised you. Continue to apply the lessons that I am teaching you along the way. Your assignment is not greater than my grace. There is more within you than you fully understand, for I am in you and I don't fail. Keep going. Don't give up. And remember, when no one else seems to understand, agree, or support you, I will always love you. I will always be with you because I only have good in store for you. God's word of encouragement. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.